Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Thank you so much for agreeing to participate on the Employee Cycle Podcast. There's so many things going on in the world, and I know you're doing so many things to make sure that your workforce is both safe and healthy. So to take time for the show, we really appreciate it. So today we're going to talk about how HR is leading your company through COVID. But before we get started, I would love for you to give us some background information on yourself regarding your name, your role, and your company.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm really thrilled to be here today. My name is Stacey Tumarkin, and I'm the head of people operations at Bonusly. We're headquartered in Boulder, Colorado, and we've got just over 50 employees spread out between three different geographical areas in New York, Colorado, and Seattle.
Awesome. And I must say that this is your first podcast ever.
It is.
We're excited. Very, very excited. So today we're talking about how HR is leading their company through COVID. And I want to start off with a timestamp, with today being June 8th, because things are happening so fast. It's really important for us to understand where the world is and what's going on so that people can better understand your answers. So let's start off with today's June 8th, and depending on where you are and where your employees are located, there are restrictions that are easing up in different places. People are going to do different things. Some people are in the office versus still at home. What's the current status of your workforce today?
Well, before I go into kind of how COVID has affected our current status, I think it's sort of impossible not to mention the fact that everyone at Bonusly is deeply concerned about racial injustice and are finding ways to respond both as individuals and as a company. So that's been kind of top of mind, frankly, for the last couple of weeks at least. And we've always had a heavy focus on diversity and inclusion, but this has really brought that conversation to the forefront. So there's a number of initiatives that we have in place as a company, but also just individually, people are getting educated on how to be better allies and how to respond in the best way. So with that being said, we've been fully remote as a company since March 16th, with the Seattle and New York offices having gone remote in the couple of weeks prior. So we had to pivot pretty quickly. We always had some process because of our three different offices. So we always had some sensitivity toward different time zones and staying connected. But, you know, we really had to refocus all of our efforts. And I've been really impressed with the team's flexibility and resilience in that respect. So obviously, people miss being in person and miss the level of interaction that comes with that. But they adapted really quickly and have been super empathetic towards one another in kind of dealing with the challenges of being a fully distributed team.
I appreciate you bringing up the fact that not only are you dealing with all of the issues around COVID, but also how the country together is dealing with racial injustice and how it's really falling on HR to bring their workforces together to understand how the workforce can move forward in a better place and also help some of these problems. So you alluded to the fact that you were already working on some of these things. Can you go into a little bit more detail in regards to how you took this on head first? Is this something that you brought someone externally on as a consultant, or did you lead these efforts internally? What did this look like?
Sure. So I really can't take any credit because the team has really banded together in a big way to do this. And our CEO really stepped up and issued a statement to employees before we did anything externally. And so, you know, like I said, it was always really important to us, but this, you know, brought it to a head and kind of forced us to address it head on. That being said, So on our Bonusly platform, users can trade in their Bonusly points either for gift cards or rewards, or they can choose to donate that money. And so what we did is we added the NAACP's Legal Defense Fund as our featured donation last week, and we offered to match up to $25,000 of our users' donations. And we raised those 25, so 50K total within, I want to say like 12 hours or even less than that since the announcement. And then since then, that amount has grown. And I can tell you the exact figure if I pull it up. So to date, we've raised 57,000 plus those 25,000 that we're matching, and it keeps growing. So that's been really exciting. And then internally, we have a diversity, equity, and inclusion board. It's an advisory board comprised solely of employees. So the leadership team doesn't participate. We take a step back. And then they're hosting an educational session this week on being a better ally and sort of facilitating a discussion around what people can be doing to respond. And we're also looking at engaging an external speaker to come in, hopefully on June 19th, since that's as good an occasion as any to talk about racial injustice and how to be a better support system.
That's really, really great to hear how you are being as proactive as possible to take these to take this issue head on. But it's interesting. I have to ask, as you're dealing with helping your employees navigate through their feelings and emotions from these very sad and horrific events that happened, along with the stress and anxiety of COVID, people staying indoors, along with people taking in the stress of unemployment, whether they're being directly impacted or not, maybe their friends, their family, or just the fact that they might be afraid that at any given moment their own company can let them go. And just dealing with all of that combined stress and anxiety, how have you and or your company been helping employees navigate through all of this? Since it's a lot to take on, and it could be a lot of emotional and physical and mental stress and toll on anyone to handle.
Yeah. So I think part of it is just being as proactive and empathetic as possible and really taking the time to listen to people's individual concerns. You know, there's no one size fits all solution, and there's not really a Band-Aid that you can apply to the current situation or any of the current circumstances that we find ourselves in. And so it's been a little bit of taking a step back, actually, and allowing people the space to process what they're going through and make requests, aside from, you know, putting in place as much as we can from a top down and a structural perspective to try and address things before they come up. So, you know, I host office hours every week, and people are welcome to come in and just talk to me about anything they might be dealing with. Our executive assistant, who reports to me and deals a lot with employee experience, has been reaching out to every individual employee to see if they have everything they need to be productive and how they're feeling in general. And we've been adjusting our approach as we went, and we learned more about what people actually needed. We have a $150 allowance that employees can use for a work from home setup. And we actually introduced that fortuitously at the beginning of this year. But it's a chance for people to buy any equipment that they then get to keep after they've stopped working remotely, just to make sure that they're comfortable and that they can work as effectively as possible. And that's just one example.
Speaking of working from home, I don't think we covered this already, but I'm assuming based off your three locations, everyone worked from an office, or did anyone work remotely or from home prior to COVID?
We had some people that worked from home some of the time or a majority of the time, but we didn't ever recruit people to be fully remote. And there was always an expectation that that they would occasionally come into the office and be able to meet face-to-face with their coworkers. So yeah, this is net new for us.
Got it. in which is what most companies are going through, which is very, very typical. So in regards to coming back to work, going back to the office, what does that currently look like for you? And one of the things that I found most interesting from other interviews is that the guest has said they find two different camps of people and employees in their workforce. There are those who can't wait to get back to the office based off of whatever their family or household situation is, or just the fact that they believe that they're much more productive in the office. But then there are a lot of others who either one, know that they're more productive at home, or just like the flexibility of being able to have this work-life balance of working when they want at their pace, as long as they get the work done. How are you currently thinking about that? And how is that going to impact your back to the office strategy, if you're heading back to the office at all?
Yeah. So first of all, I just want to say that my personal approach has always been one of work-life integration as opposed to work-life balance. And the current state of affairs has really put that to the test. Nothing is more integrated than living and working in the same place and not really having those lines be as well-defined between them. So we've really been encouraging people to set good boundaries and to practice self-care, however that means for them. Whether that's getting outside and exercising, or taking breaks, or just getting up out of your chair. So yeah, it's been really interesting to have to kind of live my values. But from the perspective of getting back to the office, this is actually an area where we learned from our employees and what their needs were, because you know we had been saying we don't have any plans to go back to the office. We don't have any plans to go back to the office. And that's because we felt like it wouldn't be fair to send one group back to the office and not another if the situations in the different states were different. And they certainly are. You know, Colorado is mostly open and New York is pretty much still totally shut down. So we wanted to make it as fair as possible for people. But we started getting the feedback of like, okay, we know you don't have a return date, but at least tell us when we won't go back to the office. And we thought, oh, wow, that's so novel and a tiny adjustment. So now we're saying we have no plans to go back to the office before Labor Day, at least, and that we're going to reassess at that point. And people have responded really positively just to, you know, the more certainty that you can give people in a very, very uncertain time, I think the more comfortable they are. It just helps to build that trust.
So on one of my previous interviews, an HR leader told me that since this first started, they have moved from a place of being in a consistent state of crisis mode to now being in a place of heightened awareness. So if you had to describe what's the status of your workforce right now in regards to health and safety and emotional stress and engagement concerns, where would you be on that spectrum?
Well, it's a little tough to say again because of the non-COVID related events recently. But I would say that even since the beginning, one of the things that our employees have told us that they really appreciated was that it didn't really feel like we were in crisis mode. It felt like they were in good hands. And our CEO did a really good job of being very proactive with our response. And we started conversations as a leadership team about potentially having to pivot to a fully remote model way back at the beginning of March, you know, when the depth of the crisis really started to come into focus. And so I think we've always been kind of in a heightened state of awareness and in a state of trying to respond as best we could and be as proactive as we could and really focus on the safety of our employees so that they could focus on their work, if that makes any sense.
It does. It does. And that's awesome that your workforce has so much confidence in you and your executive team. That's what we always like to hear. So to end this interview, I would love to learn what new skills do you believe you had to learn or bring to the table to help your company navigate through this crisis? And if there weren't any new skills, what existing skills did you already build over time as a people ops leader that you really needed to flex during this crisis?
Sure. So I think it's impossible to talk about my personal skills without talking about kind of the culture of Bonusly and what we had built to date. So obviously, in trying to build a premier employee experience platform and really revolutionize people's work experience more broadly and really educate employers about the importance of employee engagement, you know, we had to live, eat, and breathe our values. And so we've always had a very tight-knit culture, and we've always had a lot of different events and ways of keeping people engaged. We've always celebrated birthdays and accomplishments, both with our own product, the Bonusly platform, which it allows people to give peer-to-peer bonuses. And we sort of seed the pot on special occasions, whether they're work anniversaries or birthdays, just to give people, you know, a special day or a couple of days out of the year where they're recognized and called out, or all of the events that we host on a weekly and monthly basis. But I think one of the interesting things that I learned throughout this process was that you can't just take what you were doing before and translate it into a virtual or digital format and expect it to work. So, you know, we used to have a weekly team lunch on Wednesdays, and we would all gather as a company and share food and chat with one another on a more social level. And we tried to do that for the first few weeks online, and attendance kept dwindling and dwindling and dwindling until we realized, you know, this isn't going to work and people don't like it, or it's too many, or whatnot. So we had to get more creative in addressing the need to stay connected. And I think, you know, for me, getting to flex that creativity and getting to apply that at work has been one of the more challenging and rewarding aspects of this. So we introduced a show and tell series where employees will volunteer to teach a little half hour to hour long class about something that they're passionate about. So last week we had an engineer teach us about knife skills, and I taught a class on making molten chocolate cake, and we had a salesperson teach us how to do the perfect smoky eye with makeup. So that's been really exciting and fun. And I think it's one of those things that we started out digitally, but when we eventually go back to the office, it's going to carry over into our in-person interactions. So that's just a few examples.
Great, great. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for being such an awesome guest on our podcast, especially since this is your first podcast, and we're so happy to have introduced you to the podcast world. I'm sure now so many people are going to want you on their show.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been great. Thanks for going easy on me.
Oh, no worries. So on behalf of our team at Employee Cycle and everyone who will be listening to this interview and really learning from your experience and the wisdom that you provided, we hope that you, your family, and your team stay safe and healthy. And we thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Be well.